sip. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast for day two of this week. Thank you for joining us. Now, do you have a list of things that are just too stupid to talk about? Because I have a list of things that actually are too stupid to talk about, but I'm not going to label them as that because you've got the copyright on things.
Well, this is not.
I just do things that are too stupid. Yeah.
This is not too stupid. This is like the story that people are talking about. They want us to talk about. Clearly, the Norwegian women's beach handball team has been fined for wearing shorts. I mean, this is a huge deal. How do these naughty Norwegians expect to get away with this time and time again? Won't they follow the rules, Brad? Won't these women follow the rules and not wear shorts?
Wait a minute. is that because these are shorts that are, you know, about a foot in height, so they cover everything. They're just, yes, like normal shorts. So is the problem that they're not wearing the standard skimpy beach volleyball bikinis? Is that the issue? Is that,
I'm not sure if that's the, I'm not sure if that's it or not. I just knew.
Well, this, see, Britt, if you don't know that, then this is too stupid for you to say, because there has to be a reason why.
It says here the Norwegian women's handball team was fined for improper clothing at the European Beach Handball Championships because the shorts, instead of bikini bottoms, that's right.
That's
right, Brad.
That's
they've
what
become,
I wanted to hear.
They're
that's
too modest. To the sports governing European Handball Federation confirmed a $177 per player fine for the sartorial transgression. Unless you show more ass, you better get back in there and change, ladies.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to come down with authority like I always do. And you know what, Britt? Rules are there for a reason. And you know what? You cannot make exceptions. Once you make an exception like this, the next thing you know, they're wearing long pants. They're wearing long sleeves. You know, they're dressed up like medieval armor guys who, you know, you can't see anything. And what is the point of the, all right, wait a minute. You know, there is an attending story along with that.
Oh, wait, hang on. We have a sister story with this one.
That is not the only Olympic dress problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a woman who is a Paralympian. She is from Welshland. I call it Wales.
Yeah, sure.
And her name is Olivia Breen. And she's a long jumper. And she has cerebral palsy. Okay. But she's obviously, you know, it hasn't hurt her athletic abilities here. She's very good at it. And when you see her, she's in a wonderfully skimpy outfit, just like you might want the volleyball players to be in. She looks fantastic, right? And they're claiming that she's showing too much.
Oh,
so we have a real problem here. A lot of people are saying, oh, the virus is causing problems at the Olympics. That's not the – I think we hit it. I think we zeroed right in on the problems of what women wear. And by the way, that's an international all-encompassing issue about everything. What are women wearing?
Yeah,
what's going on?
That is a huge problem.
Right. There's a reason that at the Academy Awards or the Emmys, they have someone standing there, and you're forced to say, who's the name of your designer? You have to come through on the red carpet.
You're forced to. Yeah. They put a gun to your head. There's a newspaper with the date on it. You're forced to say, it's Diane von Furstenberg.
Right. She wants to wear this at the Olympics, this outfit. And if you see a picture, you'd say, this is nothing. This is what we've seen forever. You know, she's not wearing a bikini. She's just a long jumper, just wearing, you know. But she's slim, and she looks great, and she looks fantastic. And she says, you have no right to say what I can't wear. And, oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know. We may have to cancel the Olympics. Again, not over the virus, not over that, but over this. What do you
I
say?
Love the in the middle of like the Me Too movement, we have the one woman who's showing too much and these women that are not showing enough. I love the fact that the European ruling body feels comfortable enough saying, show some more ass, ladies.
Yeah. Well, they're looking for the Goldilocks Olympics, not too hot, not too cold, and it's very difficult. It's very difficult to fulfill that. All right. Story number two, and I don't know if you watched the Jeff Bezos Amazon the space flight thing. It went perfectly. The technology is there. It's very good. And this is the beginning of some. And I actually, you know, think of what you want of Jeff Bezos. He's no stupid guy. Mm-hmm. Think of what you want about Jeff Bezos. If he says something is going to be something years from now, you might want to listen to him.
Sure.
You just might.
Yeah. His track record's decent on that, right?
Fairly decent.
Not as good as Donald Trump's, but it's good.
Well, that's the gold standard.
Sure
that's
it is.
The gold standard, right. I mean, you talk about great businessmen. I know.
Oh, he's
Trump's
the man.
In a class by himself. Bezos sucks. But, you know, there is this undertow of why the fuck are we spending all this money for this when money would be better spent here on Earth, helping poor people,
right,
in the world, as if it's always one or the other.
It's a zero sum game. That's right. That's what we got here.
Right, and I fully understand just finding out that the expenditure to do this is, you know, in the billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. But it isn't as if Jeff Bezos wasn't. And by the way, I looked this up. You know how he's funding this? And you know, I guess this is like 8, 10, 12 years into this, maybe more. He sells $1 billion a year worth of Amazon stock.
Okay.
To fund this. Okay. Which again, for him it's no sweat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how much is that? How much could that help people on Earth if he wasn't investing in this? So what did I do? I got out the old Brad calculator. Here, I've got it right here.
Yeah.
This thing is so old. I can't.
That's nice, though. It's still effective, though. It still does the job.
It still works. So here's what I did. I took $1 billion, okay, and I took the cost of an Amazon Prime membership, okay, which is $120 right now, give or take. I think some might be a little bit higher, but it's about $120 dollars. Okay, so if you divide that into a billion, okay, I think you get about 7 million. Okay,
all right.
So that's the cost, which again, that's just nothing. It, in the world of Amazon, it's nothing at all. So even if you go, all right, 7 or 8 years of it, that's 50 million Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's not, and that money was not going to be donated to program. I understand that you don't, that it's a lot of money, but it's his money.
Mm-hmm.
There were complaints that, you know, let's see, 1969. So it's 52 years ago, right? That the moon landing occurred. This is the anniversary, right? July 20th. Isn't this the day? I think it is. I think that's why he did it today. Pretty clever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there were a lot of complaints back then. There was a big undertow, or if it existed back then, Twitter is saying this is a waste of money. Okay. Back during the space program.
Right.
Twitter was saying that. Why are we spending it there when we could spend it here? And at least the argument then, if it was legitimate, and there's always legitimacy to every argument like this, it was tax money. It was taxpayer money. This is his money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know about any actual subsidies or tax breaks that they're getting for this at all. I don't think so. It's not like buying an electric car and they give you a tax break.
But this is to take some of the stink off of it, he did this. It was give away $200 million in a new philanthropic initiative for leaders with civility. Although he gave the money to Van Jones, which is going to piss off everybody at Fox. Hours after returning to Earth, Jeff Bezos gave away $200 million to activist and political commentator Van Jones and globetrotting chef Jose Andre. Now, Jose Andre is That chef, of course, who helped feed Puerto Rico. I think he's from Spain. He's
helps feed everybody here. After every disaster. He's everywhere.
He feeds everywhere. He's got a Washington, D.C. restaurant. He feeds folks all the time. So in order to take some of the stink off of wasting all of this money that could have fed people, Jeff Bezos decided to give some away when he came back to Earth.
Right, right. That's a tip. And that's like you reaching into your pocket and giving somebody $5, but good for him. That's the good thing.
Although by 9:20 this evening, I'm sure the money that was donated to Van Jones will be for socialism. So just be looking for that tonight on Fox.
Britt, it's already on a slow boat to Cuba to prop up the communist regime. You know that. We know that.
That's great.
Yeah. I got a thing here. So which thing do we want to do here? I want to do the Jim Jordans. Oh, I want to do the. You may have a story on this. I don't have a story in front of me about it. I've just been seeing clips of it. That quote unquote suddenly, Fox News is not so anti-vaccine anymore.
Sean Hannity
is saying, go out and get vaccinated. I got vaccinated. Yeah. He said it. Now, and go with me on this because I'm really asking this out of full ignorance. He's only one third of the primetime problem, right? There's Ingram, him, and Carlson. So Hannity, in a totally phony, insincere, way too late to the party, you've been fucking things up for 18 months. No, it doesn't count now when you say go get a vaccine. Flip says go get the vaccine. Do you know what the other two did? Do we have any news on what the other two did? Because here's the point. Let me make the point first, and then let's see if this extends out. You know why he did that? Two words, Joe Biden. When Joe Biden said on Friday and then softened and explained Facebook is killing people. And clearly Facebook itself was not killing people, but Facebook still, and you can argue three ways from Sunday, whether they've done enough, whether they've done not enough, whether they've done nothing, whether they contribute to the problem, whether they don't give a shit because their algorithms feed hate and anger and lot. You can argue that all day, but the fact is right now they're not legally liable for things that you or I put up there, no matter what we say about the coronavirus vaccine. Robert F. fucking Kennedy Jr., my God, that guy. You know, he's like one of the lead, he's one of the dirty dozen.
You're a big fan? Big fan of that guy, are you? Shit.
But the fact is, here's the fact. Fact is, so Facebook, no matter what, is not legally able to be, taken to court on this. Well, and sure. if someone said, well, my father died of COVID. Why did he die? Well, he contracted COVID. Why didn't he get vaccinated? Well, because he heard it on some video that he saw on Facebook, or he read a post on Facebook. They have no case. Okay. Facebook is not, that's the way the law is right now because of that Section 230 thing. Okay. That was thought of, 30 years ago when the internet was nothing. In the case of Fox News, though, they do not have that protection. If you say, this is my thought, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that if you say the reason my dad never got the coronavirus is because he had Fox News on 24/7. He had it on 24/7. They poisoned him. They brainwashed him. He had no choice but to not take the vaccine. And I think that Joe Biden, by just throwing that out there about Facebook, not a threat, just informationally, and Facebook pushed back, Biden softened it, they're continuing to talk. It's not a pretty situation. But if Joe Biden was really going to be more honest, and I didn't expect him to be, he should have said Fox News kills. Not Facebook kills, Fox News kills. And then you'd have a real exciting ballgame. But you know what Fox News heard when Joe Biden said Facebook kills? They heard Fox News kills. And I guarantee you that Rupert Murdoch is at the top. I'll bet you he has put out a memo saying, you know what? The line has been, we can't do it anymore. We can't do that anymore. So they're going to try to give themselves plausible deniability here with statements like the one that Hannity made on Monday night, which was this just mealy mouth, like he should get credit for it. Oh, please, stop. Just stop. So that's how I saw that story develop over the last day. I haven't seen anything about the other people on the network. Apparently yesterday morning, Monday morning, Ducey reaffirmed and got into a fight with the other idiot at the other end of the couch, Brian Kilmeade, over it.
Oh, Kilmeade, that's funny.
Completely out of his, completely lost his mind. You know, he's taken the, it's about freedom. It's about freedom of choice. Nobody should tell anybody what, shut up.
So there was a push across Fox platforms yesterday to try to polish this thing. There's the,
where are you reading this from? Where's this coming?
This is from this RVA Wonk is the woman who found this yesterday. She is on Twitter and she has been someone who has found this stuff yesterday. And she's got several screenshots. There's Sean Hannity saying, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. People have died. We don't need more death. Research like crazy. Talk to your doctor. I believe in science and I believe in the science of the vaccination. Now, the other two, we don't know. The other two, we don't know.
Hang on. That's nothing. You know what that is? That's a complete waffle. That's a complete feet on both sides of the line.
Well, wait. Hold on.
Research like crazy.
Hold on to your hat here. Drunkie says, Rudolph Giuliani, adults should look at the facts and consider taking a COVID vaccine.
Consider.
That's what Drunkie said.
Consider.
Drunkie McDrunkerton said that yesterday. And here's another screenshot. Fox Business also was getting into the fact and telling people to go to vaccines.org and check it out and do it. Over on Fox Business, they're also now pushing viewers to visit the government's vaccine website so they can get vaccinated. That is a thing that happened yesterday. This was an absolute concerted effort that happened all day, all throughout the day. And there was also one other one that was they were talking about on Fox as well. As far as pushing people, it's too late. You don't buy it at all. It's not happening.
Well, wait a minute. So whatever happened to what we would normally say? Well, I guess all the Fox viewers are going to attack and burn down Hannity's house and burn down it because they've been listening to them all this time. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't do it.
I sort of agree with what you say, but I think what happened was that Rupert felt like there was an opportunity. Okay. Well, Joe Biden's opened the door here. Now we're going to go the other direction.
I don't think it's a question of opening the door. I think it's a question of they don't want to have to go to court and have the greatest hits highlight reel.
Well,
that stretches all the way back now more than a year and a half.
Right. It's too late for that, though, isn't it?
Skepticism about the vaccine.
Okay. Isn't it? It's probably too late for that, isn't it? I mean, like you said, there's a massive record here. I mean, there's a reason that every time that somebody comes on and tries to talk about that one computer system lying and saying that the election results were gone, they have to run a disclaimer saying, no.
You're right. And if we see that kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. From some of the stooges that they bring on to be vaccine skeptics, like that former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson. Apparently, he is the guy right now. He's the guy who said, two weekends ago that Biden wanted 90% of the people to get vaccinated. What a failure. And good for, he sucks, but whatever, kids aren't falling for that. Right. That was that. Mm-hmm. Remember that crazy statement went around everywhere. So he's that guy. So now if you have him on Fox and he starts down that road, if you shut him down, if you have to shut him down, like you just described what they did with the other situation, then I will start to believe it, but I will also be adamant in my, assuredness that's because the lawyers finally said enough is enough. Got to stop. You got to stop it right now. I'm thinking this out loud here. Now that we know that the surge across the country in places that are less vaccinated, I mean, it's just it's a direct correlation. Fewer vaccinated people, greater spread, mostly of the Delta version of the virus, more people crowding into hospitals. Some places it's worse than it's ever been, worse than it was last April, May, June, worse than ever before. It's going to be easier to reverse engineer why you're not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be able to talk. And I don't know how many interviews you've seen. I've already seen a couple just from the last few days where someone will be laying in a hospital bed, maybe even on a ventilator, but if they can talk, and the reporter will say, "Do you regret not getting the vaccine?" And the person says, "Oh, you better believe I regret it. I should have gotten it." And then the reporter will say, "Well, why didn't you get it?" "Well, I just wasn't sure." I mean, no one is going to say right now at this moment, "Well, because I heard I heard Laura Ingraham inject doubt into me. I watch Tucker Carlson every night, and he really had me worried that that I was going to lose that baby. I'm not pregnant, but I was going to lose that baby."
Is there any question? I mean, that the people, if you're someone who watches one of those programs a night, you're more likely to be someone who hasn't been vaccinated, and you can reverse. I mean, that's not going to be hard. It's like, and if you're not vaccinated, you're more likely to be one of those people that watches at least one of those shows per night. I mean, you can do it either way. I mean, it's gonna end up either way being the deal. So, and by the way, I think you're right. I believe in the science of vaccination. Hannity implores Fox employers to take COVID seriously. What does that mean?
Hey,
what does that mean?
Listen, you square-jawed fuckface, okay? No, nobody asked you if you believe in the science of vaccination, okay? That's like saying, "Do you believe there is a color blue?" "I believe in the color blue." Nobody asked you. It's already there.
It's so stupid because the science of vaccination has changed greatly. This is different than any other, you know, than vaccines we've had before, dumb shit. Stop. Stop being such an idiot. Just say, take the vaccine.
You know, just imagine how this country would be right now if Fox did what they often will do about subjects, which is religious-fy them. Cloak them in God, them in Jesus.
That's
okay?
What it is.
And if they would have said this vaccine is the hand of God saying, "I don't want humanity to die of this.
Yeah.
This is my gift, and I'm giving it to you through the scientists all around the world, and you should take it." And if they brought on religious people early on to start talking that way about this, where would this country be right now?
Well, you've hit upon something there. The Fox religiosity is fake religiosity. They're just pretending to reach out and love those folks in the Midwest and the South who love Jesus and such. And they always fake it. There's no reality to it, and they don't get it right. So now, of course, they're not going to get it right. They're not going to get right that this is actually compassion in the way that Jesus taught, the way that evangelicals love. They're not going to get that right because they don't understand it. They fake it all the time, so they don't truly understand it. They don't know. They know that they can hum the tune, but they don't know the words.
Right. All right. Well, let's quickly shift then over to the action in Washington on Tuesday, where Tony Fauci said, "I fucking had it with you. I've had it with you, Rand Paul. You sniveling piece of shit." I'm paraphrasing.
No, that's about right.
Yeah. And I haven't watched the whole thing. I watched the first part of it. The first part of the opening statement from Rand Paul, it starts off to the effect of, "Do you know, Dr. Fauci, that lying in front of a congressional could get you 5 years in prison?" Now, how about them Yankees? Okay. So he starts off that way and accuses Fauci of all kinds of intentional, incompetent misappropriation of information and funds. And Fauci, I think, kind of just took him downtown, and stuffed him. But the fact, so Rand Paul, he clearly thinks that this is a great position to own in the political universe of the United States right now. He really thinks that being the guy who attacks Dr. Fauci is, I don't know, a ticket to the presidency. I've never heard about him wanting to run for president. But that's what it sounds. I mean, this is grandstanding on a continuing scale with one person. I can't recall anything like this with anyone. Can you? I mean, yeah, there are contentious moments in Congress, but it's usually not, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a year, because this, you know, this goes on every, you know, couple weeks, every couple months now, because Fauci has to continue to make reports to the Congress, and Rand Paul jumps in there every time. What a low life. What a low life he is.
The idea that you would threaten Anthony Fauci with jail, that you would say that Anthony Fauci is going to go to prison, lock him up. Come on. It's preposterous. And you're right. I don't know if he's trying to ride this into the White House. He doesn't show up in any of these polls at all. You know, he's not hardcore enough.
Well, I'm not saying he's running, but I don't expect him to be in the polls, but he's acting like that.
Yeah.
Okay. He's acting like that. This is the thing that's going to separate him from the pack. He's acting as if at some point down the line, no matter what's going on in a Republican primary season of 2024, whether Trump's there, that he's going to be able to say, I'm the one that told you about Fauci. I knew he was in on it all the way. Or something crazy like that.
That's funny.
It's a horrible scene. It's a horrible sight.
Well, I suppose to a certain segment of Americans, he'll be considered some sort of hero. I don't know, for going up toe to toe with Anthony Fauci and getting in his face about what? Trying to help people, trying to cure people, trying to get people from being sick. Is that what we're doing? Is it we're upset at Anthony Fauci because he was trying to help so many people? Well, I don't get that.
No, it's about the funding of some of the research over in China. The charge is that Fauci oversaw the expenditure of money singularly. You know, he had a checkbook, not unlike the checkbook that I have right here. Mm-hmm. He just write checks. this is the kind of evil research that he was behind.
That's a good way to cover things up, too, is just write a checkbook from your own account. I mean, if you want to go ahead and do some evil research, just write one of those out there, because that's a good way to go.
Right.
But isn't it also that Fauci ruined Donald Trump's presidency? Isn't that also the charge from the Fox News and from the right, is that if Fauci had been more supportive and hadn't undercut Donald Trump so much in that last year, that Donald Trump might have been reelected?
What, you mean if we were all using
hydroxychloroquine bleaching ourselves?
I don't know. I don't think that even the most ardent Trump people spend much time beating up on Fauci. I really don't think they do. I think that's a very niche group of people.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know who Rand Paul thinks he's winning over with that kind of garbage. I don't know.
Brand new shock poll. Majority of Republican voters say a fresh face will be stronger than Trump in 2024. That is a 33-point swing since April. That's according to a poll from John Bolton's Political Action Committee, which I don't think has any sort of basis in science. In a new poll of Republican primary voters by former Ambassador John Bolton's Super PAC, respondents were asked, since former President Trump's popularity has dropped with voters since the 2020 election, would you agree or disagree that a new Republican candidate, a fresh face, would be a stronger candidate to defeat Joe Biden in 2024? Just over a third of GOP primary voters say that Trump would be a stronger candidate, while 52% say a fresh face would be stronger, Brad. Is this too stupid for us to discuss?
Of course it is. So we will. when it's a poll like this, which was a question that no one was really asking, where it's kind of a leading question, okay? Because if you turn the question around and asked it this way, isn't Donald Trump by far the best candidate who's likely to be able to defeat Joe Biden in 2024 instead of a fresh face? If you just change the wording of the question, I think you might get a bit of a different answer. But okay, mm-hmm. we'll take it as it is. What I want to do with the results like that, I want to divide it by two. Let's say that it's way off. Okay, what was the difference? 30 points, mm-hmm. 30 point draw. Okay, let's say that Trump's has only dropped 15 points.
Cut it in half.
In any universe, 15 points is the end of the world.
Should be doing it
for your populace. So the answer is, this is too stupid to talk about, but it's not too stupid for Trump to probably reply to and attack John Bolton somehow with a statement later today.
Sure, he hates
him already.
So he really hates him.
It may be stupid for us to talk about, but it's never too petty for him to respond to. Okay?
It should be noted that in the same thing, the same poll, Donald Trump leads everybody when it comes to what's your preference for 2024. It's him 45%, then DeSantis with 13%, followed by Mike Pence at 6%, and then there's Ted Cruz and Nikki Haley. So by far, Donald Trump is the choice, even though a fresh face right. would be much better to defeat Joe Biden.
Right. So if there's any validity to that, the stupidity of people saying a fresh face would do better, but Trump's still my choice, what are you suicidal? do you want to lose? Do you want to get beaten twice?
Huh? Well, they don't think they were beaten once, though. That's the problem. Right. That's the issue. And then they're trying to pare down who's able to vote. So that's going to help them out anyway. That's what they think anyway in 2024.
All right. Let's talk about the Fab Five. And I'm not talking about the University of Michigan basketball team. What year was that? 88, that was, 87?
It was like 93 was when Carolina 93. Beat them in the final.
Right, right. And I'm talking about the Chris Webber, you know, that.
That was them, yeah. Chris Webber calls time out when he doesn't have one.
Okay. So they're going to have this committee run by the Democrats because the Republicans refuse to have a bipartisan committee. So just always remember, and I'm sure this will be widely reported, you know, by the usual suspects who cover up for the Republicans and for Trump for everything. Remember that the reason this committee exists at all in its form, which is a committee run by the Democrats and not as traditionally bipartisan as you would want to see, considering that the entire governmental system of the United States was attacked. The election was practically turned over should Mike Pence have decided to do something different, and people were almost killed in huge numbers at the Capitol because Republicans don't want to investigate that. And we know all the reasons that they don't want to. They don't want to acknowledge it. A lot of them were part of it. They might have even been on the planning of it.
Yeah.
My take was that on Monday when Kevin, not to be confused with Joe, although he's not that far away, McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
Named five people, Republicans, to be on this committee. Let's see, you have three of them who voted to, let's see, I want to get the, it's three and five. All five of these guys voted against impeaching.
That's correct.
Trump. Three of the five of them voted to not approve the vote. Mm-hmm. In the House after January 6th, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. Okay. So this is equivalent of, after World War II, the Nuremberg trials appointing Rudolf Hess, Martin Bormann, and Heinrich Himmler, if he hadn't killed himself yet, to be prosecutors on the Nuremberg trials to prosecute other people for war crimes. Okay. I mean, these people have no business being on there, none whatsoever. And if their goal is to completely upset the decorum, attack the very reason that the hearings are existing, and claim, oh, what about Black Lives Matter? What about Antifa? If that's all they're going to do, I predict that it is possible that we could see finally in the United States Congress something that you've only seen on TV. Sometimes they show it on the end of the news or on Inside Edition or some of those goofy shows where in the Philippine parliament, all hell broke loose. In the South Korean parliament, all hell broke loose and chairs were thrown, punches were landed, and people were injured. Desks were tossed because of whatever. We're that close to that right now. Because remember, January 6th greased the skids for that kind of behavior.
Sure.
In that room.
Sure.
Okay. And you now have five people who are going to be on the committee who aided and abetted exactly what happened on January 6th and approved of it and approved of the reason, of the very reason that the riot occurred, which is not believing that Donald Trump is the legitimately elected loser. Okay. He wasn't the elected loser. He was just the loser that Joe Biden won. And we all know about Jim Jordan. Okay. We all know what a prick he is.
Absolutely.
He's not the only one. Holy shit. Some of these other guys are, you could argue that they're worse.
Mm-hmm.
They're worse than Jordan. Okay. Now these are deniers. These are aiders. And then there's one guy. I can't remember which one he is. He actually helped defend the Capitol along with the police on that day. Jesus. All right. So now what is he going to do as a Republican on this committee? Mm-hmm. What is he going to say, that the cops suck?
Yeah.
Ashley Babbitt is a hero.
Right. I regret having helped the cops on January the 6th.
All right. This guy is Representative Troy Nehls, NEHLS of Texas. He was a sheriff who supported the Capitol Police in turning back rioters.
Mm-hmm.
So what is he going to say? What is he going to say?
I don't know.
Are we going to have people saying that these were all Black Lives Matter, Antifa supporters and members of the Democratic National Committee dressed up as Trump people to make us look bad? I mean, what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Are they going to say? What are the motives here?
Well, plus it's all over town, and it's all over over the news that, you know, Kevin McCarthy made sure that these picks were Trump friendly. He went to Trump and he made sure that they were handpicked by the master. Right.
Right. Right. So just that fact, you know, we could stop the music right there.
Exactly.
Right? You know, you lost, get out. But they don't want to admit that he lost. So that's a...
Well, they've said that this is going to be political theater, and now they're damn sure going to make sure of it. I mean, that's what they've said.
I know, but then I can argue the other direction, which
All
is
right.
Bring it on.
Okay.
Show everybody just how crazy you are. Show us bring the crazy. Let's see you argue against all the video.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see you argue against the death. Let's see you argue against the threats, against the gallows, against the Confederate flag being paraded through the Capitol. Let's see you argue on behalf of that, Republicans. This is your chance. Show us how this was just a typical tourist day in Washington, D.C. You know what I would do right now? If I was, I would actually get some video right now of tourism in Washington. You know, just normal people walking around doing, because they probably opened up a lot of the stuff now again. So
sure.
You just go there. So I would show that. And then I would show what happened on January 6th and say,
Chuck's opposed to that.
One of these is not standard tourism activity, tourist behavior. Which one is that? Can you help us?
That's
Can
funny.
You help us. Yeah.
That's great. The markets seem to have steadied themselves. I know there's some danger of us talking about a snapshot of what the markets are doing. Do you have any thoughts? Because yesterday was a complete disaster because the Delta variant continues to make its way across because people are being stupid and not being vaccinated. America really is the two Americas, the people who scrambled and died and couldn't, had to stay online for hours and hours getting a vaccination back in March and April, and now the people who can walk in anywhere they want to and get one and won't get one. Any thoughts about that sort of situation now?
What's happening in the financial market?
Yes,
they're doing what they're doing. We're within 2 or 3% of all time highs.
Okay.
We just are, and you can't make an all time high every day. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So if you're near an all time high and you go back a percent or two or 5% or 10%. It really is not the end of the world. And was it an overreaction on Monday? Of course it was.
Right.
Of course it was. If you decided at 3:30 on Monday afternoon, I'm done. I can't handle it anymore. Well, then you really can't handle it. Because it's very clear, no matter what you think is happening with the coronavirus and the Delta variant and the spread within communities across the country, that we're not going to go back to the situation that we had last year. Schools are not going to stay closed. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Now, I know, again, you don't have a kid. I don't have a kid in school. I really would not want to be in the middle of the directives by the CDC that every kid in school under 12 has to wear a mask all day long. Man, that's a tough one.
That train's coming, though. That train's coming down the tracks.
But it's, you know, it may be. It may be. But schools are not going to be closing, and everyone who had to work at home isn't going to be able to continue to work at home. A lot of people are going to have to go back to the office, and people are going to want to go to concerts. They're going to want to go to baseball games, and it's just going to happen. And the underpinning economic activity has been really, really strong. These one day things, and I'm glad it was a one day thing. Although again, you know, we don't know what happened today or tomorrow. You never know, but, You just, what, by the way, when they take everybody out and shoot them at the same time, that's what happened on Monday. There were no Indians left standing. Everything went into the shitter. Well, yeah. That's actually, in my opinion, that's kind of a good sign that it's completely irrational.
Okay.
It has to be completely irrational. Because, you know, pick Microsoft. Okay, are you trying to tell me that suddenly Microsoft is going to go into the toilet? People are going to stop using their software. People are going to stop buying. People are going to stop upgrading.
No,
it doesn't work that way.
No,
it doesn't work that way. So Microsoft was down a percentage. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, look, fucking Disney. Okay, Disney is a great barometer because it's a reopening stock.
Right.
Okay, but it was also a big winner stock during winter, W-I-N-N-E-R, not winter, winter yeah. stock during the shutdown.
Right.
Because they very brilliantly came up with the idea of Disney Plus and went into streaming, and it was a big hit. So they covered their base then. And now, does anybody think that they're not going to get those damn parks fully reopened and rocking all around the world?
Of course.
You know? And the money isn't going to keep flowing. Does anybody think they're going to stop making movies and pumping them out the way it's not going to happen. So right. Disney was down yesterday. Today it's back up more than it was down yesterday. So, you know, shit. That's it.
Everything's kind of evened out as it is, you think, but yeah. the true underlying problems like inflation obviously is going to be a concern for a while. I mean, that's going to be there. That's priced in the market.
Right. Well, it's not that. It's just, your best protection long-term, Mr. Financial Advice here, your best protection long-term against inflation is stocks.
Oh, interesting.
Why is that? And that's not considering that on any given day, the headline can be investors panic.
Right.
Inflation up year over year, 5%. They're selling. Forget that. But over time, companies raise their prices. If we'll pick on Disney again, if you don't think that Disney won't be able to keep raising prices for people to go to that park to cover whatever inflation you think exists in the economy, whatever amount of wages they're going to have to pay more than. Now, you can say, well, shit, that's going to be the end of the world if everybody's just starts paying more and paying. I'm thinking about this right now. Forget the stock market, because I'm looking at cars, okay? And I can't quite figure. I need to do this. I need to go to about four different places and have them price my car, my old car, because all you hear is that used cars have gone through the roof.
Yeah, the inflation's right? on. It's unbelievable right now.
Right. So if that's true, even my old car will have gained enough in value the last year or so to cover whatever the amount is of the price of, let's say I buy a new car, where they're not negotiating now because they don't have a supply. No. They don't have any. So you got to pay the sticker price, maybe even more, who knows. But if my used car has gone up, that should cover the pain and suffering that I would have, because, hey, if it was the quote good old days, I'd get shitty money for my old used car, and I might get $1,000 or $2,000 off on the price of the new car. It's a wash.
Right. That's right.
Am I right about this, or am I wrong? Right. I don't know. I don't know.